Mr. President, let me take this opportunity also to congratulate you for your appointment to this august house. I wish to congratulate the Director General, Dr. Margaret Chan, on a very inspiring report. It has brought sunshine to our hearts and has given us courage to soldier on. I believe that we now have a clear direction, what needs to be done now and post-2015. This World Health Assembly is critical to what happens post-2015, as we'll be finishing our contribution to UN's post-2015 strategy. There's been much discussion at local, national, regional, and international levels, and it is now crunch time. We fully agree with Dr. Chan, and we also have noticed that there's a very fierce competition in the new development agenda post-2015. We wish to strongly point out one clear, incontestable, universal truth. That is an absolute impossibility to try and obtain any measure of development without health. And I wish to repeat, no development without health is ever possible, not now and never in the future. Mr. President, in the past, WHO has come up with noble ideals like the Alma Ata Declaration, and the United Nations came up with MDGs, specifically the health-related ones. All these ideals, which were clearly very noble, could not achieve their full potential because there was one missing link, and the missing link was a lack of universal health coverage. This absence of universal health coverage made it impossible to attain health for all, as envisaged in Alma Ata, and made it the achievability of health-related MDGs to be determined by socio-economic status of individuals. It is no wonder that in the present agenda of the world as it is, women and children suffer the most, regardless of the good intentions, simply because they occupy the lowest rungs of the socio-economic ladder of the world. Hence, we must be unequivocal in our call for universal health coverage to ensure equity in access to health care based on the need and not on ability to pay. We can no longer allow health care to be a commodity that is traded on the stock exchanges of this world. We accept that many parts of the world continue to experience economic challenges, and there will be a temptation to reduce expenditure on health. We must do everything we can at national, regional, and global levels to make a case for sustainable funding for health as one of the key strategies of governments to build the economy, to protect the health of citizens, and to ensure that the gains made in the last few decades are not lost. As national funding, as well as development assistance for health gets more and more constrained, we need to think carefully about how to transform our health system. I'm confident that if we all move towards universal health coverage, we'll be able to, number one, plan better and therefore generate greater efficiencies, and number two, to reduce inequalities in our countries. We therefore need a global strategy to assist every country to achieve universal health coverage backed by a social movement. This will be a great example of global social solidarity. Hand in hand with universal health coverage, we must commit to a generation free of HIV and AIDS, TB and malaria, and a generation that makes every effort not to fall prey to non-communicable diseases. In this regard, we strongly agree with Dr. Chan and support a sentiment that there shall be no friendship whatsoever between us in the health sector and the tobacco industry. We furthermore call on all the WHO and all partners, as well as governments, to ensure that multinationals that export products that will contribute to NCDs are held in check. This will help developing countries, in particular, to hold the rapid increase in incidence of non-communicable diseases, which we frankly cannot afford to treat. Especially on the African continent, we cannot carry the burden of communicable diseases, which we are already carrying, and at the same time, accept as inevitable the entry of non-communicable diseases. We must not even be tempted to believe that on the African continent, we can ever mount a successful treatment campaign against NCDs without an attempt at prevention. There are simply no resources to mount such a successful treatment campaign. Hence, there's one clear course of action, and that is prevention of diseases and promotion of health, and to fight the risk of NCDs to the end and only resort to treatment when everything else failed. Whilst doing all of the above, we cannot stop our efforts to tirelessly put up programs to reduce maternal, neonatal and child mortality. We need to accelerate our efforts in this remaining 1,000 days before 2015 and beyond. And please know that when the Saving Mothers, Saving Babies report was released last week, it's not the richest countries that scored high on reduction of maternal and child mortality. It's actually the countries with successful universal health coverage. In conclusion, Mr. President, our path is very clear. The post-2015 agenda has been mapped out for us. Number one, a relentless pursuit towards universal health coverage. Number two, to deal decisively with NCDs by uncompromisingly fighting the risk factors responsible for NCDs, as in tobacco, alcohol, wrong diet, and lack of physical activity. Number three, acceleration on the reduction of maternal, neonatal, and child mortality, and the absolute reduction and even eradication of HIV, AIDS, and TB and malaria from the face of this planet. Thank you.